in the evenings, and then do a ministers' conference during the day, where pastors and ministers, you know, could come and receive training and teaching. And so, obviously, I, you know, prayed about that. Sister Pam and I prayed about that, and really felt led of the Lord that this was something that the Lord would have us to do for a lot of reasons. And He immediately spoke to me that He wanted me to teach the pastors about His kingdom. Jesus didn't tell us to go preach the gospel of salvation only. He told us to go preach the gospel of the kingdom, with the new birth being a means of entering into the kingdom. Where a man and woman gets born again, they enter into the kingdom. And so the gospel of the kingdom was Jesus' earliest, most frequent, and even final message. If you look at it carefully, after Jesus was raised up from the dead, He was on the earth for 40 days, and He spent that time teaching even more to His followers things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Heritage Christian Center is a local church with an international vision, and I believe any local church that understands the scriptures and is following the instructions that we were given by Jesus should also be a local church that ministers to and reaches their local community, but should also see beyond themselves. And we devote a good bit of money here at Heritage on an annual basis to other ministries that we partner with and work with around the world. And no one lately, okay, but in the early complained about it, that do things around here. We should build a ball field for our kids. We should this, we should that. Which I don't agree with. I do understand what they're saying, but I don't agree with it. Because the minute we turn inward as an individual, listen to me now, the minute we turn inward as a family, the minute we turn inward as a family of faith, we start to die. We were created by God to live our lives on a foundation of faith, hope, and love, not fear, regret, and selfishness. And selfishness is a huge problem. And as it relates to even our current study, Breaking Free from a Darkened Understanding, selfishness, focusing on yourself, being more concerned about yourself than others. The Bible says you should prefer others before yourself. Now, that's the wisdom of God there. Again, it's not the wisdom of this world, but it is the wisdom of God. That you should prefer other people ahead of yourself, that you should look after the interest of others, not just your own interests. And the moment you as an individual, you as your family unit, or we as a family of faith do that, we begin to die, because it's not how we were created to live. Remember, God created us and designed us to live from the inside to the outside, not from the outside to the inside. We talked about that some last week, from the inward man out. And so when it comes to a darkened understanding and how do we break free from that, while we're doing something different today, this is really a practical application of how we break free from a darkened understanding. And that is by getting the focus off of ourselves and focus on someone else who is in need. I know we've got folks here that may cheer for different football teams, but it's been said that when Coach Saban was at Alabama, if anyone on his team or staff or whatever came to him, you know, complaining about him having a bad day or this or that, Coach Saban was notorious for asking them compared to what. He would simply look at them and say, compared to what? Compared to what, right? In other words, you may be having a bad day because you had to jump your car off, right? And I've seen people with my own eyes carrying water for miles. They don't have a car. They don't have a bicycle. They don't have a motorcycle. They don't have running water in their house. So they have to get up before dark and walk to where they can get water, miles and miles and miles, and then walk back with it. Right? You hear me? So next time you're out of coffee to put in your automatic coffee maker. Amen. Again, compared to what, right? So, but it's very easy for us to get focused on our own first world problems, our own things that tend to irritate or aggravate us without ever considering what other people around the world. I had a conversation back in, during the days of COVID and not long after COVID, and with Pastor Cornelius, and I was explaining to him that the government here in the United States was actually giving people money not to go to work. You know, because again, if you shut down the government, you got to help people. I'm not knocking that or bad mouthing that, but just hear me, right? He thought I was joking. You talk about how good we have in this country. He thought I was joking. He says, "Dad, are you serious?" I'm like, yeah. And he began to explain to me. He said, highly qualified, educated people with college degrees, he said, one job will come open and there will be 5,000, 6,000 applicants for that one job. People are desperate for work, and just the situations, you know, the whole conversation started with, you know, we're having a hard time getting people to come back to work. He said, what do you mean? I was like, well, there's all these businesses, they can't function because their employees won't come back to work. He says, you mean they have openings and people... So, again, I don't want to go too far down that road, but I'm just trying to show you, again, compared to what? Amen. And we are so blessed in this nation, and I think one of the number one reasons we are so blessed in this nation is because the United States of America, more than any other nation that has ever existed on planet Earth, finances the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom around the world. So when I was presented with this invitation, we prayed about it, talked about it, and of course, not only did we say yes, I already knew what the Lord would have me share. He wanted me to go and teach those ministers about His kingdom, and so that's what I did. And of course, I do not speak Swahili; I speak English. And so there were a lot of people in the crowd that did speak English, but there were even more that did not. And so obviously, then I needed a translator, and there were a few men that translated for me, but the one who translated for me the most, and the one that, you know, if he was available, I requested him. It was this gentleman named Cornelius, and I called him Pastor Cornelius, and we just flowed together. As a matter of fact, one of the videos that I'm going to show you is a few minutes of Cornelius and I preaching together in Kenya, and I hope you enjoy that. Not just because it's me and him doing it, but I hope you even enjoy what the Holy Spirit was saying. I got blessed by it this morning just listening to it again. I believe it was a word from God. Amen. But while we were there, I just really felt a heart connection with him. And I won't go into the long explanation of this, but God has a specific purpose and destiny for every human being's life. And that is a purpose and destiny that cannot be fulfilled without other people. In Romans 12 and 3, to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think is to think that you can do what God puts you on this earth without working together with God and with others. And so if I have a specific destiny to fulfill that cannot be fulfilled without other people, then those other people are also specific. Jesus did not say, give me 12, any 12 will do. He prayed all night until his Father told him exactly the 12 men that were to be his disciples, his inner circle. So if that's the case, then there are certain people on this planet that I came out of my mother's womb looking for. Are you understand what I'm saying here? In other words, it's more than just happenstance or coincidence that you're here this morning, or that the Lord has knitted our hearts together as a family of faith the way he has. Are you understand what I'm saying here? Mark Sundberg, I came out of my mom's womb looking for you, buddy. And vice versa. Amen. And it's a partnership that's now dates all the way back to the cabinet shop. Wally, I don't know if there's anybody in here that I couldn't say that about. Amen. There may be a guest or something like that. But again, and so I knew that Cornelius was one of those men that I came out of my mother's womb looking for. And I found him in a place called Mwingi, Kenya. And so some of you heard this story before, but if you could just bear with me for a minute. Once we left Mwingi, we were coming back to Nairobi to catch a plane and come home. And we were in two minivans. Cornelius was driving the van in front of us, and we were following. And they had a flat tire. And It was about, I think, about a five-hour trip back into Nairobi. And when I say we were in the middle of nowhere, if you think you've been in the middle of nowhere, I promise you, you haven't yet. Okay? When you're in the middle of nowhere in Africa, you're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're in places that I don't think a lizard can survive. I mean, I'm just telling you, okay? And it's a flat tire. And, of course, we pull over with them. And it's a car that Cornelius is driving. And when we get the lug wrench out, the lug wrench is either too large for the lugs or it's too small. It's a four-way, but none of the options would work on that particular lug. And so we said, well, maybe the one in our van will, and it didn't either. And so now everybody's looking at their watches because, you know, you don't want to miss the flights. And they're trying everything they can. And I take no credit for this. The Holy Spirit gave me this thought. I have, some of you men will know what I'm talking about here. There's dress shirts that you put a collar stay in. You turn the collar upside down and you stick it through, and it holds the collar straight instead of it curling under on the ends if it's not buttoned down. And Pam bought me a pack of these years ago that were metal, because I would either lose the plastic ones or I would forget to take them out, and they would go through the dryer and then they would turn into a C and it wouldn't work anymore. So she got me some metal ones, and I happen to have those metal ones in my suitcase. And so the Lord gave me the idea of getting my pack of metal collar stays out of the suitcase and wrap it around the lug nut to make the lug nut bigger so that, what's that joke? I may be crazy, but I'm not dumb. Amen. So that now the lug nut would, all right. But this is what I didn't know. This is what I didn't know, okay. Cornelius was watching that. And he had never, you'll hear what I'm saying. It's a cultural thing. You have to understand the culture you're in. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might by some means reach some. That doesn't mean, you know, Paul got drunk to reach a drunk. That's not what he's saying. He understood the culture that he was in and how to minister within that culture. Please, nobody start trying to do this, okay? But when I was there, there's such a reverence and a respect for ministers that they would not even let me carry my own Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? Like, when we first got there, they said, you know, you'll start ministering at such and such a time. I said, what time's the service start? The service started like an hour and a half, 2 hours before that. I said, why are we not going when it starts? He said, oh, well, that's the worship time. Excuse me. And, of course, Pastor Chris agreed. We would like to be there for the worship time. They said, well, it won't be in English. I said, I don't have to be in English to, you know what I'm saying? Oh, so they take off to the field, right? Well, then, you know, I'm worshiping. I'm not much of a dancer, but they're dancers. I'm just telling you. And so, you know, they told me, they said, hey, the ministers don't dance here. I said, well, maybe they ought to. In one of my services, I asked for all the children to come forward, and they looked at me like I was a nut. And I said, did they not understand? And so Cornelius said it again. And then he kind of got firm, like, come on now, you know. I found out later, kids are like, they're not even considered adults. To, you know, I say that. They're not, in other words, no one had ever thought to minister to the children. One of my favorite things there was prophesying over all the kids. So again, it's just a different culture, it's a different world. And so I think you guys know me well enough to know that, you know, getting in the dirt in dress clothes to try to fix a tire is, that's just who I am. But that's not how they see ministers. He says never, to him that was, I'm not saying it was before God, but I'm just saying to him that was the greatest act of humility he had ever witnessed. I mean, to me, it's just what I do, right? It's who I am. But to him, it was like the greatest act of humility. And he told the Lord then, he said, I'm going to follow that man. I'm going to follow him. Well, so I didn't know the Lord was doing this in his heart like he was doing it in mine. So I get his contact information. When I get home, I reach out to him and never hear back from him. I thought, man, I know I didn't miss you, God. So I reach out to him again, didn't hear back from him. And then finally, he reached out to me and was like, we had somehow we had missed in the cyber universe, right? You know, we had He was reaching out to me, I was reaching out to him, and we weren't making the right connection. And so we began this conversation. It was in his heart to start a Heritage Christian Center in Nairobi. And, I mean, they basically started in a rented of an empty lot. There's no roof or building or anything like that. And started there, and it has expanded. And of course, that's been, what, eight years ago, ten years ago now. What do you say, Brother Jerry, if you think it's five, double it, amen. It's 10 years ago now. And, of course, the work in Nairobi, it continues to grow. But their heart, in Pastor Cornelius' heart, is to take what he learned about the kingdom and what we teach in discipleship class to other places there in the country. And so they just opened their seventh campus. And it's amazing what God is doing there. And he'll mention this in his greeting to us in just a moment. But there are a lot of people who are participating in discipleship. They have the last few years, but this year there's the largest group ever that's going through the 36-week discipleship class. A lot of them watch it archived after the fact, but there is a pretty sizable group that actually stays up. They're 8 hours ahead of us, and so it's, you know, basically 2-3, depending on the time change, in the morning, and yet they're there. And listen, I'm not, these folks are amazing now. I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but maybe we could learn from them, right? These folks pray all night consistently, okay? Yeah, they're serious about it, all right? So I'm going to, the first clip, I think it's about 5 minutes or so, it's going to be of Pastor Cornelius and I preaching together, and then the second one will be him giving a greeting. So we've practiced and tested and all this other stuff, and somebody fixing to cut out the lights. By the way, let me say this to folks watching on the live stream. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work with the videos and live streaming. You should definitely get the audio. Marcos is back there. We're going to do our best to get you the video as well. But anyway, here we go from Mwingi, Africa.
So when Jesus says, I'm giving to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he's giving you access to his kingdom. Keys mean you have access. But when he gave us keys, he was also giving us authority. If I give my key to Pastor Cornelius, I'm giving him access to my room, but I'm also authorizing him to enter it. I'm giving him authority. And because of that, I'm trusting him, I'm giving him responsibility over my things.
Na kwa sababu hiyo, ananiambia kunipatia uwajibikaji kwa vitu vyake.
Some
say it's the wealth of that kingdom. Some would say it's the technology of that kingdom. Some would say it's the military of that kingdom. While all of those things are very powerful, they are not the most powerful thing in
life.
Please listen to me very carefully. The most powerful.
little flock, be of good cheer, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you kingdom. That word spoke to me profoundly, and God sent it with that message specifically for me. At that time, I was working in Baptist Bank of Kenya, and with all that, I was still depressed. I had low self-esteem. I had a lot of issues. I had suicidal thoughts, yet I was born again. And God connected me with this man of God specifically to come and change my life and teach me and tell me who I am in the kingdom of God. And from that time, the Lord has changed my life.
Yeah.
I am a changed man. And that's why I refer and I call him every time as my dad. Because I lacked the love of a father in my childhood. I felt unwanted. I was rejected. Grew up as a street child with help from well wishes. But through God's grace, I managed to get the university education, and the Lord has been good. The word that the pastor sent, the Lord sent Pastor Will, came to save me and help me come out of the depression that the enemy had put me in. I really love the Heritage Christian family in Houghton, Alabama. The Lord bless you so much with the kind help of HCC through Pastor Mark. We have been able to do a lot in Kenya, and still believe the Lord that our good Lord will continue to do great things. There are a lot of challenges, yes, but the word that we run with, that we hear, know him, and make him known, and indeed good things are coming, we are always optimistic and believing God that things are working out, and for sure they have worked out. Lives are being transformed through the discipleship class training that most of us in Kenya sit up as late as 2 a.m. and to listen to. And that was has transformed many lives, starting with my own. We bless God for the great work you're doing in Houghton, Alabama, the HCC, and we pray that the good Lord continue to do you good. We would love to receive you so that you come and see what God is doing in this side before we cross to the other side of eternity. May God bless you and God do you good. We love you with the love of Christ. Receive greetings from my family and my wife who is not here and my children who are away at home. May God bless you and do you good in Jesus' name. Thank you, and good things coming. Amen.
Amen.
Christy, you may have to X off of it there in the right corner there. Amen. Those watching online, the reason the audio went out, you were hearing that through my mic, and I realized my mic was on, and I turned it off, which I should have left it on. So maybe we can just post those on Facebook for those of you who watch online and would like to hear the balance of that. And I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't realize that was the only audio we had. Amen. I was a little bit concerned that I might get emotional there over the microphone, so but God is good. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. So let me, it's 11:42. Just give me a couple of minutes, okay? Jesus told us to go. And until he comes back, that's the assignment. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we see in Acts 1:8 where the word of the Lord is, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem obviously was their hometown. And he said, go to Jerusalem first, then all Judea and Samaria, that would be the surrounding areas. But then he said, don't stop there, go to the ends of the earth. Some people say we should reach everybody at home before we start trying to reach everybody else. That's not biblically. This is not an either or, it's a both and situation. The Lord spoke this to me, and I would love to give credit to whoever said it. It may have been Bill Johnson. He said, "The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home." And so with the Lord's help, as we work to shine His light in countries, in people groups that you will never meet or see this side of heaven, it enables His light to shine more brightly here with us. And when we talk about that light, remember, light is the ability to see things as they truly are. Now, in Romans 10, and these are verses that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, but I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to read them this morning. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then he breaks it down. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Perhaps someone's listening to me this morning who will actually go. There are those listening to me this morning who have been and may go again. Amen. But I would dare say most of us in this room, most of us listening online, will never be able to or interested even in accepting Cornelius's invitation to come see before we cross over into eternity what God is doing in Kenya. But where we fit into that, where you fit into that, is we can all send. We can all use the resources that we have to send others. Amen. And that is what we have done consistently now for many years as a family of faith here in Heritage. I want to read 2 Corinthians 9 from the Passion Translation to you this morning. It's talking about receiving an offering to send to believers in another location. So from Corinth and to the Corinthian people. Actually, there's no need to write you about the contribution for the holy believers in Jerusalem. For I already know that you are on board and eager to help. I keep boasting to the churches of Macedonia about your passion to give, telling them that the believers of Corinth have been preparing to give for a year. Your enthusiasm is contagious. It has stirred many of them to do likewise. Still, I thought it would be best to send these brothers to receive the offering that you've prepared, so that our boasting about how you were ready to give would not be found hollow. For if, after boasting of our confidence in you, some of the Macedonians were to come with me and find that you are not prepared, we would be embarrassed to say nothing of you. That's why I've requested that the brothers come before I do and make arrangements in advance for the substantial offering you pledged. Then it will be seen as a matter of generosity and not under pressure, as something you felt forced to do. Here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart. Let giving flow from your heart. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do, just as the Scriptures say about the one who trusts in Him. Because He has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, His kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. The priestly ministry you are providing through your offering not only supplies what is lacking for God's people, it inspires an outpouring of praises and thanksgiving to God Himself. For as your extremely generous offering meets the approval of those in Jerusalem, it will cause them to give glory to God, all because of your loyal support and allegiance to the gospel of Christ, as well as your generous-hearted partnership with them, toward those in need. Because of this extraordinary grace which God has lavished on you, they will affectionately remember you in their prayers. What I had no idea of was what Cornelius was going through. And I won't, maybe one day he can stand in this pulpit and it'll be his story to tell, but what he endured as a child was basically left by the man who fathered him to fend for himself on the streets. And how that carried over with him into his adulthood. And he was able to go with the grace of God. He got his degree. He was working in the banks there. If you understood what he was saying there, he was working in the banks. Even when I was there, he was still employed in the banks. But dealt with severe depression and even suicidal ideation. Never confessed, never told me any of that till later. But because, watch this now. Because in 2014... you sent me to him. Are you seeing how this works? You realize he didn't just sit there and hear these sermons. He preached these sermons. He sat there and confessed all of this right alongside me. Right? And it changed his life. Now notice, he's wanting other people. I mean nothing. Listen, there are lots of really wonderful churches in this area, and I'm sure there are lots of wonderful churches in Nairobi, okay? But there are also a lot of churches that are religiously minded. They don't believe in the power of the Word of God. They don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the anointing of God. They don't teach these things. They're more about moral platitudes and these kinds of things rather than the demonstration and power of God's Spirit. And so Cornelius was a born-again man. That's what he wanted to, if you notice, he emphasized that. I was born again, but I was so depressed. I was born again, I wanted to kill myself, right? Faithful to church, serving in church. He was an associate pastor in church, right? But no one was telling him the things that he needed to equip him to live the life that God created him to live and fulfill his destiny. So in the same way that this church was started over 25 years ago now, his heart and desire is to have churches now all over that region. God only knows. I mean, hey, he's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask, think, or imagine where this is going to be in the next 20 years. But he wants churches where people can come and hear the gospel of the kingdom, that can hear the power of God's word and the word of God's power and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's exactly what's happening. They will take, as churches, they will come together and watch sermons we preach here. They will worship with us and watch services that we have here together so that they can learn and grow together what God is saying to us here in this place. Amen. Now, one last thing and then we'll receive the offering, okay? As I was meditating on this and praying about this, the Lord led me to this again. And I say again because we taught on this Wednesday night in discipleship class. But Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Fears there with an S. I taught this back in the cabinet shop days, back in, I guess, 1998, 1999. The Lord showed me that there were five fears that were common to mankind. Fear of lack, a fear of rejection, fear of failure, a fear of the unknown, and a fear of death. Fear of lack is fear that you won't have enough. Fear of rejection is, you know, fear that people will reject you. A lot of people have made a lot of bad decisions in life because they wanted other people to accept them and approve of them. Fear of failure, right? I want to try this, but I'm afraid I'll fail if I do, and so we don't. Fear of the unknown, that's basically worry, stress, anxiety, what might happen, and, you know, what if we do this, this could happen, so forth and so on, these wild scenarios. But ultimately, the fear of death is behind all of it. That's why the book of Hebrews says that Jesus, because he died, he has delivered us now from the fear of death. But the way we taught this so many, many years ago and now have many times since is that if you think of a hand with four fingers and a thumb and its ability to grip, and with the fear of lack, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the unknown being the four fingers, but the fear of death being the thumb, you can't grip nearly as tightly without a thumb as you can with one. See, when people say they're afraid of flying, they're not afraid of flying, they're afraid of dying. I don't know about people ride motorcycles, man. I just don't know if I could ever do that. Well, if you've ever done it, you would really like it. But see, what your fear there is not of a, you're not afraid of a motorcycle. You follow me. I mean, you're afraid of crashing and dying. So it's a fear of death. Now, these are the five things the Lord impressed upon me to say to you this morning, okay? Because, by the way, I mentioned this, and we'll get back to this next week, okay? But what we're doing now is how you break free from a darkened understanding. And you do that by doing love and doing trust. Trust and love are action words. They're something you do, not just something that you have. And this is what the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning, okay? I will not allow the fear of lack to stop me from being generous or rob me of the joy of giving. There are a lot of people that fear of lack, they still give with a fear of lack, but that fear robs them of the joy of being generous towards God. So, see, a fear of lack will try to keep you from giving, but if it can't keep you from giving, it'll still try to rob you of the joy of giving. So I will not allow the fear of lack to stop me from being generous or rob me of the joy of giving. I will not allow the fear of rejection to stop me from reaching out to others and loving like Jesus loves. The Lord told me a long time ago, he said, don't let the people who reject you keep you from reaching the people who want you and need you. Don't let the people who reject you keep you from reaching the people who want you and need you. Number three, I'll not allow the fear of failure to trap me in my comfort zone and stop me from trying new things. Number four, I'll not allow the fear of the unknown to rob my peace or stop me from following Jesus down paths that are unfamiliar. And then number five, I will not allow the fear of death to stop me from truly living and experiencing the abundant life Jesus died to give me. Amen? Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, if y'all would come back. I don't know, if y'all don't have a song prepared, I'm sure you've got one that you can pull together right quick. I should have given you a heads up on that. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me very carefully now. Listen to me very carefully. Look at me, please, okay? We were created by God to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. People that don't even know God have this innate desire in them to be a part of something bigger than themselves. That's why we say all the time, I'm expecting more today than I can produce on my own. Amen. And what God has done through this partnership, many partnerships that we have here, we're focusing on Kenya today, but with this particular partnership, is he has enabled us this opportunity to give of our finances to something bigger than all of us and all the members of all those churches in Kenya, because it's God's kingdom that's being built. It's God's kingdom that's being advanced. It's God's people who are being equipped to then reach more and more and more people on the African continent and beyond. Are you seeing this? Amen. And this is part of what it means to be a child of God. This is what it means to be a child of God. It's me and my house will serve the Lord. Well, serving the Lord is more than coming to church. Amen. It's being a part of what God is doing in the earth. Amen. Amen. So they're going to lead us in worship. Pops, Mark, if y'all would, go ahead and serve the people. If you're giving above and beyond what you normally give at Kenya, or let me just say it this way. This is offering, obviously both offerings this morning. We're doing all together. But make sure, if you're giving specifically to Kenya, that you designate it some way. If you're giving cash, then write Kenya on the envelope. And then, of course, in check, you can write for Kenya. Father, as we come to this time now of giving, we do so as unto you. We do so, Father, by faith. We do so, Lord, joyfully from the heart. Joyfully from the heart. Father, this family of faith has enough money and a checking account that we could have written a check to cover some of the urgent needs in Kenya. But you told me to do this, and that's what we're doing. Because, Lord, this is an opportunity for people to not only be aware of what's happening there, but to have meaningful participation in it. So we give as unto you for your glory, Father, for our saints in Kenya, that they might continue to do what you've called them to do there and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. You give us unto the Lord as they lead us in worship this morning. Praise God.